today, I want you to imagine for me for a moment that you've no experience of any kind of youth or children's ministry whatsoever. Imagine that you'd never visited a children's ministry or a children's church as you know it, that you'd never prepared a session for young people in the way that feels so familiar to you, that you'd never been to a training event or even spoken to another youth or children's worker about what they do. Nothing, nothing at all. Now imagine for me that all you had was a Bible in your hand and a passion in your heart for passing on the gospel to the next generation. If that was all you had, what would your youth or children's ministry look like? Or perhaps I can put it this way. If that was all you had, then would your youth or children's ministry look like it does today? Or would there be some things that you're doing now that you would never have thought to start? Perhaps there would be some things that you're not doing now that you would feel compelled to devote a whole load of your time and attention to. If all you had was a Bible in your hand and a passion in your heart for passing on the gospel to the next generation, what would your youth and children's ministry look like? Now, with that question in mind, I'd love it if we could open up our Bibles together this morning to Mark chapter 7 and verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating food with their defiled hands?" Now that kind of seems like a fairly innocent question, doesn't it? Why aren't your disciples washing their hands? But just look at Jesus' response to the Pharisees now. He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." Now, my first reflection on this story is that Jesus was clearly not delivering this particular teaching during a global pandemic, and perhaps his emphasis on hand washing may have been a little different in 2020. But that notwithstanding, his rebuke still feels extremely harsh, given that on the surface, at least, the only challenge the Pharisees seemed to be making to Jesus and his guys was about washing their hands before dinner. And yet, Jesus is so strong. He calls them hypocrites. He says, "Your hearts are far from me." He says, "You worship me in vain." I mean, he really pulls no punches. So what's going on? Why the ferocious rebuke for something that's seemingly so innocent? Well, the problem wasn't actually anything to do with hand washing at all. The problem was that this ceremonial hand washing was, in fact, a tradition of the elders, not the command of God. And the Pharisees had developed this really nasty habit of giving their time and attention to fulfilling the traditions of the elders at the expense of the things that God had actually commanded them to do. So washing hands and dishes before eating in itself wasn't wrong. In fact, it's actually a really great idea, and it wasn't why Jesus called them hypocrites. Jesus rebuked them so harshly because they had created their own traditions and emphasized them over the commands of God. Now, it's easy for you and I to kind of roll our eyes at the Pharisees or think about people that we know who seem to be steeped in tradition, but I can't help but wonder if we've done the same thing in youth and children's ministry. See, when you hear the word tradition in a church context, you immediately begin to think of pews or hymns or organs or old liturgy or service structures. But have we developed traditions in our own youth and children's ministries too? Because you see, tradition in this sense isn't something that's old. It's a recurring practice or program that is neither biblical nor unbiblical. It's just kind of abiblical. So, starting off our sessions with a high-energy game is an a-biblical tradition. Gaming consoles, that's a tradition. Our stage design and set production, it's a tradition. Many of our resources and programs are the product of tradition. In fact, even the very concept of a monogenerational group of children or young people is in itself a tradition rather than a specific command of God. And just like hand washing, many of these traditions are great ideas, but they become a problem when they demand so much of our time and our energy and our creativity and our resource that they prevent us from focusing on the things that God has actually commanded us to do. So our traditions supersede God's commands when our youth ministry programs become so high maintenance that we no longer have any time to sit with a young person and wrestle with the scriptures together. Our traditions supersede God's commands when our children's ministries demand such a level of production that our children become audiences who are no longer afforded the opportunity to discover and develop their spiritual gifts. And so it is imperative that we distinguish between our traditions and God's commands and give the best of our time, energy, and focus to the latter. So, what would your youth or children's ministry look like if all you had was a Bible in your hand and a passion in your heart to pass on the gospel to the next generation? And I ask this question because I really believe that there is an invitation from God to us, specifically in these days, to refocus on the main things. I believe that God is offering you and I an opportunity to simplify our ministries in order to give the best of our time and attention to the most important things. I believe that the Lord's been doing some pruning in these days, some stripping back of the peripheral activities that made up the traditions of our youth and children's ministries in order that we may bear greater fruit in the days to come. And so, to enable some of that refocusing, I want to give you a few questions to reflect on together in your team time this morning. Here are the questions. Number one, why do we exist? What is at the core of your purpose as a youth or children's ministry? What is at the heart of your reason for being? Why do you exist? Number two, what has God called us to do? And I want you to think of this in two ways. First, kind of universally, what is the command of God for all of us? Remind yourself of those things. Matthew 28, Acts chapter 2 would be great places to start that discussion. But then also think of it specifically. The specific people that God has called you to reach, the specific mission to which God has assigned you locally. And then finally, is our activity effectively fulfilling our purpose? Because once you have clarity about your purpose and your assignment, you have then a clear filter through which to pass through all of your activity and program. And I encourage you to take everything that you do and filter it through this question bit by bit. Does our activity help us to achieve our objective? Does our program help us to fulfill our purpose? And if it doesn't, to stop it or change it? Perhaps it's time to reinvent, refresh or renew as you focus again on the commands of God over the traditions of ministry. I want to leave you with the words of the great prophet Rocky Balboa, who once said, if you want to change things in a big way, then you've got to make some big changes. I pray that today you would have the clarity that comes with hearing from God and the courage to do what he says.